the significance of this 50 years of ISKCON. Just imagine, just try to imagine, go back, and if you had a time machine and you could go back, just imagine if you could jump in a time machine and go back to New York City in July of 1966. Wow. And be there, that little tiny storefront, just a handful of hippies. I mean, just a little tiny, nothing compared just to this local congregation. Just a small handful of hippies. The whole movement is a small handful of hippies from the hippie neighborhood. American kids, no Indians, just a bunch of American hippies who thought the Swami was really cool. And really, they didn't really understand everything about the philosophy, but they really knew the Swami had to be into something. Actually, one professor, he came to visit because he had done his doctoral thesis on, I think it was Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Lord Chaitanya, so he was really into the philosophy. And he talked to the boys and he saw they didn't really know anything about it. They didn't know that much, but they were really dedicated to the Swami. So it was actually just, of course I kicked myself because I was in New York at that time. And I visited that neighborhood a few blocks away. I was in Washington Square Park, which is a few blocks away. In the summer of 66, actually in July of 66, I was only a few blocks away from the storefront. Just a few blocks. But I had a big block here that didn't allow me to go. Krishna didn't let me. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for him. But just an amazing thing. Just imagine when Swamiji. How many of you have visited, seen the storefront? How many of you have been there? Yes. Very nice. Yeah. ISKCON acquired it a few years ago. Got it. It's leased. We don't own it. We're leasing it. Now the rent has gone up incredibly. The neighborhood has come up. It's now an in-demand neighborhood. Before it was like a derelict neighborhood. Now they have to. But there, I contributed something to pay, help pay for the lease, the new lease. They have the higher price lease. But it's very, very wonderful, the whole history. We had one gathering there many years ago. Devotees came from all over. Probably all over the world. After we had gotten it back, we leased it, and they had a big festival there at 26 Second Avenue. Jayadwaita Swami was one of the boys who joined back in the early days, and he told what it was like. He was remembering what it was like. He told what was on the Sunday feast. This amazing list of preparations, you know, rasagula, this and that, on and on. Glob Jamun, just on and on and on, big, huge. He said, you'd be nuts not to join. It's actually amazing that the Prabhupada's Leela there at 26 Second Avenue. See, Americans don't know what it means to serve, okay? Servant is something, you know, that's some low-class thing, you know, like the guy who. Of course, we used to not be self-serve gas. It used to be you pump your own. It used to be somebody would pump it for you. A gas station attendant. But self-serve was not there when I was a kid. There would always be a gas station attendant who put the gas for you and he'd clean off your windshield for you. That was a standard thing when you pull in to get your gas. So being a servant was some, you know, like being the gas station attendant, some low-paying job for someone with no education, being a servant. So to be a servant is a whole new thing for Americans, to be a servant. So nobody knew how to serve. No one knew how to be a servant. They would come to the Sunday feast, they would enjoy it, and they would go home. And Prabhupada collected the money, he bought the boga, he cooked the feast, he served it out, and he washed the dishes all by himself. Prabhupada. Can you imagine? And one of the boys, he was thinking, I wonder who helps Mamaji to wash the dishes after the feast. So he stuck around after everybody left, and he walked back into the kitchen. There was Swamiji all alone, clean, washing the dishes. He said, Swamiji, can I help you? Prabhupada was so pleased with that boy. You can imagine. He was so pleased with that boy. Helping out with the dishes, you see. So in this way, Prabhupada, as you can imagine, elderly gentleman, 70 years old, taking all this burden on his own shoulders just because he was so dedicated to his spiritual master. When Prabhupada was a young man, only 22 years old, he was ordered, you must spread this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. We've all heard the story. Prabhupada first resisted. Who will hear our Chaitanya's message? We are a dependent nation. We are under British rule. First we must get independence, and then we can talk about other things. At that time, Prabhupada was a Gandhian wearing white khadi. That was a symbol of being an anti-establishment youth. Just like in the 60s, it was cool to be an anti-establishment youth. Similarly, in the 20s in India, it was cool to be an anti-establishment youth. And the symbol of anti-establishment was wearing white khadi, dhoti. You show that you are anti-establishment, hand-woven, not British mill-woven dhoti. British mill-woven, hand-woven, you see. So he argued first on behalf of, first we have to get free of those Britishers. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati convinced him, this has nothing to do with who's in political power. Politicians come and go. This is an eternal thing. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya must be propagated. It doesn't matter who's in political power. So Prabhupada was convinced. And Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me. You see, initiation, there's practical initiation, which is that we call that shelter. You see. And there's formal initiation. When you actually exist, like I accepted Prabhupada in my heart, that wonderful day I told about, yesterday morning when I heard that recording of the devotees singing the Avastakam prayers, and I realized how beautiful it would be to give my life to Prabhupada. And actually, I was practically initiated then. I accepted Prabhupada into my heart as my eternal master. But then the formal initiation took place later. So there's shelter when you practically accept within your heart the spiritual master. And then when you've shown you're really steady in that position, the spiritual master then will formally initiate you, Diksha. So Prabhupada said, practically initiated me. That was 1922. And then in 1933, he got formally initiated. Abhay Charan became Abhay Charan Aravinda. And then only 3 years later, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur departed. Just before his departure, Prabhupada wrote him again. My other godbrothers they're serving you very nicely. I have not been able to do much service for you. What service I can do for you? He said, spread. He told him the same thing he said at the first meeting. You spread this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. So on the strength of that order, Prabhupada came here, even suffering 2 heart attacks on the boat. He came to the Western countries, to America, New York City, to establish this Krishna consciousness movement. He had started another organization in India, that was called the League of Devotees. But it had not come out successfully. Krishna wanted him to do something in the West. So just like Prabhupada said, failure is the pillar of success. So the League of Devotees failed. There was a purpose behind that failure. So Prabhupada instead of the League of Devotees, we have ISKCON. ISKCON is the fulfillment of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura's order. So we're very blessed to be here, 50 years now of this movement. I'm very, very blessed. 50 years of Prabhupada's movement. Now what the next 50 years will hold? Some of you may be around for the 100th anniversary, some of these kids. If I was around, I'd be pretty old. Some people live that old. See, I'm now 68, so 118. It's possible. Not likely, but it's possible I'd be around for the 100th anniversary. Maybe. Krishna wants. Actually, Ishapanasa says one can aspire for hundreds of years if he goes on doing work in that sort of way. You know that verse from the Sri Ishapanasa? So I leave it up to Krishna. I can die immediately if he wants, or I can live for 300 years if he wants. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to serve my spiritual master's mission. That's all. For all of eternity, I just want to serve his mission in any capacity, in any world. It doesn't matter, the hellish planets, the heavenly planets, Goloka Vrindavan, wherever Prabhupada wants me to serve, that's it. I'm simply dedicated to serving this mission. It's such a glorious movement, ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This movement will go down in history for having saved, the Prabhupada said, for having saved the world in its darkest hour of despair. Now try to understand what that means. Try to deeply meditate on what that means. This movement will go down in history for having saved the world in its darkest hour of despair. That means someday this movement will be greatly recognized. Be universally recognized throughout the world as the savior of humanity. Right now it's not recognized, only a small handful, the ISKCON members and a few outsiders have some realization. But practically our movement is not, many people don't even know about our movement, you see. It's practically unknown. But that day will come when our movement is universally known and universally appreciated by everybody throughout the world. How great is this Hare Krishna movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness? So we have a great duty, a great legacy. There's a tendency, due to the influence of Kali, to drift away. See, we have a tendency for us to drift back into material consciousness. Is always there pulling at us. Until you get to a certain stage of advancement in Krishna consciousness, the material nature is still pulling on you, trying to tug you back. You have to fight it off. So we have to be very careful. We keep this movement pure, as Prabhupada has given it to us. How do you do that? Read the books and follow what's in the books. It's very, very important. The books are the basis of this movement. I hope the questions are more about the 50th anniversary and not in general. Because the whole topic will tell you what, filter the questions. Any questions about the 50th anniversary and related to ISKCON should be sent forward. And I'm going to focus on those today. This is a special class. This class is only once in every 50 years. It's a very special class. How important is book distribution? Prabhupada's books, it's essential. If we don't distribute Prabhupada's books, our movement is dead, and we are dead, spiritually dead, because Prabhupada's order was to distribute books. How ISKCON rose again after Prabhupada's departure? Yeah, it was a very difficult time. We weren't used to it, having Prabhupada absent. You can imagine, in the beginning, we were told we were totally dependent on Prabhupada, you see. Any difficulties, you just go to Prabhupada, he immediately resolve it, you see. Any conflicts, You just ask Prabhupada. The resolution was finished immediately. Prabhupada was there to resolve every conflict, answer every philosophical question. There was no difficulty. Prabhupada was there to every step to tell us what was right, what was wrong. That's it. After Prabhupada departed, there was a period where it looked like the movement was going to really, you know, it was really a difficult time. Because the devotees were sincere in their desire to serve Prabhupada's mission, we came through that difficult period. And now the movement is flourishing like anything all over the world. So that's by sincerity and by intelligence. That's how we can make it through whatever difficulties come. You have to deal with it intelligently based on Prabhupada's teachings and with sincerity. What can we do to ensure the integrity of ISKCON is kept, not deviate from Prabhupada's teachings? You have to follow Prabhupada's. You read the books and you follow what's in the books. Prabhupada said, all my disciples have to follow, read all my books or they'll fall down. So read all of Prabhupada's books. Bhagavatam, Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, Krishna Book, Nectar of Instruction, Shirsha Upanishad, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Read all the books, again and again and again. Become very familiar with Prabhupada's purports and mold your life according to them. That's the key is the books. See, the books are for the world, they're also for us. The Prabhupada was so powerful, why didn't Krishna allow him to preach successfully from early age rather than late in life? Yeah, Prabhupada said, better late than never. Why didn't he preach powerfully as a young... Why his success was held? Well, older women in Los Angeles said, why didn't you come earlier to America? Prabhupada said, because you weren't ready yet. Actually, that time... when Prabhupada came, it was a very special moment in American history. It was a very pivotal time in American history. The youth were rejecting the parents as their guides. The youth were rejecting the previous generation's guidance. There was one of our heroes was Bob Dylan. He said, come mothers and fathers, he sang like this, come mothers and fathers throughout the land, your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. So the whole mood was, come senators, congressmen, heed ye the call. Don't stand in the doorways, don't block up the hall. He who is hurt will be he who is stalled. The order is rapidly changing. So it was a whole time where we were rejecting our political leaders, rejecting our parents, rejecting all authorities. Because we'd say, these authorities have made a screwed up world. They've made a screwed up world. We reject their authority. That was the whole mood. So Prabhupada came right in the middle of it. Our saying was, don't trust anybody over 30. And Prabhupada was over 30 and we trusted him. You see? Krishna sent him just at the right time. Just at the right time. The hippies were completely rejecting the authorities of the older generation. And they were looking for a leader. And the only leader who could really... And they found that leader. Thousands of hippies came. Prabhupada said, the hippies are our best customers. I'm turning the hippies into happies. So Krishna sent him just at the right time, just at the perfect time. Prabhupada had no idea the countercultural movement was happening, the hippies rejecting authority, so I'll go to America at that time. It wasn't known. He just came when Krishna arranged it. He tried to get out earlier. The Indian government wouldn't let him. They wouldn't give him a P form to leave India. But finally he got it after a great struggle. He had to practically get on his hands and knees and beg the government official. I mean, it was heavy. You read about what he went to, what he went through to get the P form to leave India. Apparently, they weren't. They said, "We refuse to give you the P form." They told him, "We're not. You're not giving it to you." He had to. Prabhupada had to just beg and plead with them for that P form. It was very difficult. So, Krishna arranged just the perfect time for Prabhupada to come. How important it is to have a bhakti vriksha group at our home. Preach, preach, preach to the world. That's your duty. Everyone in this movement has a duty given by Lord Chaitanya. Jade de katadikara Krishna upadeshamara gaya guru hoyutare desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this world. Everyone's under that order. Every movement, member of this movement has been ordered to be a preacher, a siksha guru. Every preacher, every devotee in our movement has been ordered, you become siksha guru. Okay. In 50 years, we see so many people left ISKCON, more than those who have joined. Why is it difficult to continue the process for years? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam viti tatvataha. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. This simply reconfirms what Krishna says in the Gita. That's so. 1,000 people will come, 100 people will stay, and out of 100, only 10 will stay for their whole life. It's a numbers game. So how do you take over the world? You've got to pump millions and billions of people into the movement. That's how you're going to take over the world. Millions and billions of people we have to pump into ISKCON. We have to think about how we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. That should be the meditation of every devotee. You say, me? Make the whole world Krishna conscious? Well, Prabhupada gives this example of Indian railways. They used to have a poster that said, every employee must see that the train on the wheel is turning. So somebody is actually the engineer, he pulls the throttle on the engine car, you know. But somebody is the clerk, you know, signing a paper in the office. Somebody else is just sweeping the sidewalk in the train station. But it's the duty of every employee to see that the wheel and the train is turning. So in the same way, it's the duty of every ISKCON devotee to see that ISKCON is indeed taking over the world. By your service, whatever it is, whether you're cleaning the toilet or redistributing books or offering an arti, or giving a lecture, it's the duty of every single ISKCON devotee to see that ISKCON is taking over the world. Okay, we should read Prabhupada's books first, or his disciples should read Prabhupada's books first. The other books are just extracurricular activity, like in school. Like when I was in school, there was you have your curricular activities which are required, then you have your extracurricular activities. Like I was on the debate squad, you see. That was extracurricular. You do that after hours, you know, on the weekend, you go for a debate. But your curricular activities is to read Prabhupada's books. The other things are extracurricular. You can do them. They're valuable, they're good, but the first duty is to read Prabhupada's books. There are other scriptures outside of ISKCON, so are we allowed to read them or not? Have you read all of Prabhupada's books? Have you read all of Prabhupada's books? You're asking about reading other scriptures? Have you read all of Prabhupada's books thoroughly? No, you haven't. So why are you asking about other scriptures? This is nonsense. This is completely nonsense. You don't even understand Prabhupada's book. If you had read all of Prabhupada's books, you wouldn't have to ask me this question. The fact you ask this question shows you haven't read Prabhupada's books. Why are you asking such a question? Some people have been critical of ISKCON, saying that it brainwashes young people. Yes, my brain was washed. I had a very dirty brain, full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And those Hare Krishnas, they brainwashed me. How did Prabhupada convince the hippies to follow him when they were rejecting authority? He was so lovable, really. He gave us so much love. Nobody loved us like that. I mean, I can just look at those letters that I got from Prabhupada, you see. I had letters from girlfriends, letters from this and that before. There was no letters like Prabhupada letters, you see. There was so much love. Prabhupada just showered us with so much love. He was so loving that all your heart would melt. That's, you know, you want to love him back. Prabhupada gave us so much love, and we would try to, whatever reciprocate we would, whatever reciprocation we give him, he'd give us even more. So it was all based on that loving kindness of Prabhupada, along with the philosophy. Bhakti and Vedanta. A perfect philosophy, perfect knowledge. It was a combination. While preaching, some people ask why we have this difference of opinion about accepting Prabhupada's disciples as guru. Yes, some say that, you know, only Prabhupada is the guru, but that they haven't read the books. Devotees who have not read the book think only Prabhupada is guru. But that's not what Prabhupada says. The one who is the disciple, he's the next guru. It's right there in the Bhagavatam. Why don't you read the books? This difference of opinion is people who have not carefully read Prabhupada's books. What is my duty as a boy 9 years old? This switch is crazy. Maybe we gotta get a new flashlight. The switch is real. What is my duty as a boy 9 years old? Become a pure devotee and save the world. That's your duty. When the preaching of ISKCON started in Eastern Europe, who took this initially? Eastern Europe. I know Germany, you call Germany Eastern Europe? West Berlin? Whose question? Shivananda Sain Das went to West Berlin, which was Eastern Europe technically. As far as the other countries like Lithuania, Latvia, Bulgaria, etc. Disciples went there later on. But as far as I know, mainland Europe began with Shivananda Sain going to West Berlin. How is this devotees in communist countries? Actually, the former communist countries are the best Krishna consciousness. For me, it's my favorite place. They're not so overwhelmed with all this Western. There's much more of a family feeling there than I find in outside of Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe is my favorite place, especially Lithuania. It's so much of a family feeling there that I don't get anywhere else in the world. It's just amazing. It's all locals also. Mostly outside of Eastern Europe, at least in America, it's persons of Indian background are filling up our temples. There we have, in Lithuania, I just know of one Indian in the whole country. But the temple is packed with local people. That's a big